When it comes to raising donations for creative projects, the web-based Operation Kickstarter has become the place to go. This month, three movies that got money through Kickstarter are up for Oscars. It's only been around since 2009, but Kickstarter has already delivered over $400 million to various projects and taken its 5% cut along the way. A lot of you have probably contributed to friends' Kickstarter-funded dreams, but what happens if you give money to a project that never actually gets made? Ike Sriskandaraja has the story.
On Kickstarter, you'll find two kinds of people: creators pitching projects and backers supporting them. Last year, 2.2 million people pledged to fund projects on Kickstarter. Most of the backers had positive experiences, but for a few, it was less than rewarding.
It made me cynical. I don't think Kickstarter is a scam, but it sure could be.
Last year, Max Geller of Brookline, Massachusetts, donated to a public art project in New Orleans called A Giant Ball Pit in an Abandoned House.
I want to fulfill a childhood dream of mine and fill this entire space with these giant, soft, bouncy balls by the thousands.
Yeah, I thought this was something that I would contribute to.
About $15. 230 other people chipped in a total of $3,300. More than enough money to fill a skeleton house in New Orleans with bright, bouncy balls.
So thank you very much, and I'll see you in the ball pit.
But here's where one man's ball pit dreams run into zoning, safety, and people who just don't want a ball pit in their neighborhood. The city put the brakes on the project, and for many backers, $20 was not worth losing sleep over. But Max was more vigilant about his investment.
I mean, there's lots of fun things to do in New Orleans. There's plenty of reasons to go. And one of them for me was to get my money back.
1,500 miles later, Max found Josh Enty, the ball pit guy, and got his $15 refund. Josh has gone on to give refunds to more than half of his original backers. He sent out a lot of checks, and the rest got their money back through Amazon payment accounts.
I felt entitled. That's really important. I felt entitled to having my money back.
And Kickstarter wasn't going to get it back for him. When projects reach their funding goal, Kickstarter delivers the money, but it won't make refunds. So backers have to find their own solutions. Last year, the first Kickstarter lawsuit was filed when a backer sued a creator for not delivering the custom iPad holder that was his promised reward. Some high-profile flops have created controversy on the site. Deacon, a member of the band Animal Collective, raised $25,000 to make a record in Mali. He took the trip, he came back, and then 3 years passed without a word. To this day, no music, no refunds.
And the funny thing is, if you look at what he did, the only mistake he made is he dropped the ball on communicating with his fans.
Amanda Palmer, Dresden Doll and Kickstarter Pro.
If the communication had been ongoing and he had said, I'm not really happy with these mixes, I'm not really happy with this music, why don't we just call this a draw? I'll put one of my demos up digitally so you can hear what I'm talking about, and I'm going to give your money to charity. Are you guys okay with that?
Palmer knows something about communicating with fans. Last year, they helped her raise over $1 million for an album and artwork.
My Kickstarter grievance is probably a pretty rare one. But the toughest thing about my Kickstarter was after it happened, everyone thought I was rich.
With her $1 million, Palmer said she'd spent $200,000 on recording, $300,000 on distribution and promotion. But when it came time to touring, she did something she's done before and asked for musicians to come play for free along her tour route. This time, it brought a backlash. Fans, musicians, critics, people were angry.
It hurt. It really hurt my feelings to feel that misunderstood.
Still, she's in it for the long haul.
It's going to be a little while before I do another giant project, but I will absolutely use crowdfunding because there's no simpler way. So I'd happily use it again.
Because at the end of the day, it was a success. Most funded projects on Kickstarter don't fail. According to a survey from the Wharton School of Business, Kickstarter has about a 3.5% fail rate. Major funding like the NEA has about a 1% fail rate. So, not bad. But what happens to the money for the unbuilt ball pits and undelivered albums? I asked Kickstarter co-founder Yancey Strickler.
Every project is between its creator and its backer. It's the creator's responsibility to complete their project, and that's what they set out to do.
But let the backer beware.
Kickstarter is, it's where the creator and the backers meet, and it's our responsibility to make sure everyone knows how the system works.
Crowdfunding seems to be the latest thing, but it has an important ancestor, subscription publishing.
It was a way of distributing the risk and the cost for books or projects that were considered a little marginal.
Jason Ponton is editor of the MIT Technology Review, which has written about this.
Sometimes it would occur if the book were considered slightly risque.
For the quirky, the taboo, and the pornographic. But unlike Kickstarter, this model gave more insurance to the supporter. For instance, if something happened to the author or the work.
That happened on occasion. Books were not completed. The author died. The author changed his mind. He became a drunk, in which case the publisher was expected to return the money to the subscribers. And if he could not, he might be thrown into debtor's prison or sued by the original subscribers.
And Ponton thinks more lawsuits on Kickstarter are just around the corner because the site is ripe for a scam.
We've been warning that at some point in the not-too-distant future, an actual scam occurs with Kickstarter, where someone takes money for a project they have no real intention of delivering, and then the scammers, the fraudsters disappear. And the investors are going to look for someone to find responsible.
Is there a contingency plan or a conversation in-house at Kickstarter if that happens on a large scale?
Well, you know, I think that...
Yancey Strickler of Kickstarter.
As a company, and I think that the way you think about the community is just about the overwhelming majority of projects have gone very well. But I don't think anyone would expect that every project would go perfectly or that every project would work out. And that's just the nature of making things.
Kickstarter has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 4 years without protecting its backers. Because in most cases, it's not just a transaction. It lets backers feel close to the creators, feel like they're part of the process. And if you're the creator...
It's a kind of pick your poison. You can either choose to have a bunch of label people and middlemen and distributors cause you a headache, or your fans can cause you a headache. Either way, there's going to be a headache. I would rather have the headache directly with my fans.
For Studio 360, I'm Ike Sreekandarajan.
Ike Sreekandarajan is a reporter for Turnstile News, a project of Youth Radio. So have you used Kickstarter as a creator or a backer? If so, tell us how it's working out for you at studio360.org. And while you're there, you can hear Ike's uncut interview with Amanda Palmer and her take on the Kickstarter backlash.